bench at the foot of the bed, where she'd dumped her gym bag. She couldn't remember where yesterday's clothes had ended up, but she'd find them. She eased out of bed, inched her way toward the bench, feeling with her foot for any stray clothes. She found yesterday's bra, t-shirt, rounded to her gym bag.
Why are you sneaking around in the dark?
She didn't jump exactly, but her breath hitched at the mumbling coming out of the dark.
Damn it, ninja failure. I'm sorry I woke you. The point of sneaking was not to wake you.
I'm a light sleeper.
Obviously. Go back to sleeping light. I'm going to get dressed in the bathroom.
But since you're at least awake, you don't happen to have an extra toothbrush, do you?
Second shelf, linen closet. What Emily calls a hospitality basket. It's got spare everything. It's still dark.
Actually, day's just breaking. Shh, sleep.
She closed herself in the bathroom, opted for another quick spin in the shower. Following routine, she slathered herself with sunscreen from her gym bag. Once dressed, she found the toothbrush just where he'd said. Now she needed to find yesterday's pants, which included her belt, her phone, her multi-tool, and loose change. She'd intended to sneak out, but she opened the door to Light and to Zane standing in his boxers at the open terrace doors.
It is a break between night and day, he said. I never really thought about it before.
I love how the birds wake at first light, get so excited.
She crossed over, kissed him on the back of the shoulder.
But I'm sorry I woke you up.
There was a woman in my shower, so I started thinking about the wet, naked woman. Who could sleep?
Since you can't, do you trust me to make coffee?
He turned, studied her.
You'll make coffee?
I'll make coffee, especially if you have any kind of cereal. Not that a Little Debbie isn't perfectly acceptable breakfast food, but I try to save that for weekends.
I have Cheerios.
Excellent. Any fruit?
I think I have bananas.
Then I'll even fix breakfast.
She gave him another light kiss, started out, scooping up the rest of her clothes on the way. By the time he came downstairs, she'd opened his great room doors to the morning. She'd set his outdoor table again, unearthing placemats he never used, actual napkins, even a small vase now filled with what he assumed were colorful weeds. She'd put out bowls, a sugar bowl and creamer, a pitcher of juice, glasses. If you took away the box of Cheerios, the table looked like the setup for a casual yet sophisticated breakfast al fresco. He noted her boots now stood by the open back door, and she walked in barefoot.
Hey, I wasn't sure how long you'd be, so I held off on the coffee. I also needed a couple minutes to figure out your fancy machine.
She walked over to the fancy machine as she spoke, placed one of his oversized mugs.
Go ahead and sit down. I'll bring it out.
Still blurry, he did as he was told while the machine whirred, and finally that life-giving scent hit the air. She brought out mugs, one no more than two-thirds full. When she set the other in front of him, he lifted it, inhaled the first dose straight into his brain.
You drink it black. I'm always amazed at people who drink black coffee. I don't actually like coffee.
As he watched, she flooded her mug with milk, showered it with one, two, dear God, three spoonfuls of sugar.
That is no longer coffee.
Exactly, but it still has that punch I go for in the morning.
Shaking his head, Zane dumped cereal in her bowl, then in his own. She doctored hers with milk, rapidly sliced half a banana over it, held out the rest.
You want?
I guess.
Before he could take it from her, she sliced banana over his cereal.
No sugar?
He asked as she spooned up a bite.
I like Cheerios. And I see you've combined the honey nut with the very berry.
Yes, I have.
I find that brilliant, and see myself emulating your style in my own home.
They ate in easy silence until he gestured toward the vase with his spoon.
Aren't those weeds?
Wildflowers, she corrected. Native wildflowers.
Yours, as your pretty clump of woods, is alive with them. Trillium, Johnny-jump-ups, Cranesbill. I can see I need to get you a book so you can identify your own treasure trove. He drank more coffee.
You look good in the morning, and you smell like the beach.
Thanks. That's sunscreen, and it won't last. The beachy scent, I mean. I slap it on every few hours, but the beach loses to sweat, dirt, and whatever, which I need to get started on.
The crew's not here.
They will be.
She rose, started stacking dishes.
I'll take care of that. You cooked.
I did set the table, and what I don't know about cooking, I make up for in presentation. I'll take these in because I'm going to steal a Coke for later.
He carried the rest in behind her, got a Coke out of the fridge, handed it to her.
Are we still on for movies and popcorn?
Her smile hit her eyes first.
Sure. 8:30, right?
8:30.
He cupped her hips, drew her in, drew her up, kissed her in a way he intended to have linger in her system until he saw her again.
Well, her fingers trailed through his hair. If I came over at 8, you could give me that full house tour.
Come at 8.
And kissed her again. As the days rolled on, the wall neared completion. Darby juggled jobs, pleased the work she'd done attracted interest. She spent more nights than she thought either of them intended in Zane's bed. She didn't look toward the future there. For now, the future was her work, her place in Lakeview, the life she built for herself. Still, the day she looked at the completed terraced wall, the lower level full of good, rich dirt prime for planting, she thought of Zane. Whatever happened, he'd have this, and he'd remember.
It's freaking beautiful.
Gabe stood beside her, beaming in a way she understood.
I've never had a part in building anything like this, and it's freaking beautiful.
She hiked an elbow on his shoulder. He had a few inches on her 5'7".
It's going to be even better once we plant it.
Hallie wrapped an arm around Gabe's other shoulder, gave him a quick squeeze.
Let's get it done.
Roy, why don't you go back and work with Ralph on the back wall? I'll get Hallie and Gabe started.
He took off his company cap, waved it in front of his face, settled it on his straggly hair again.
Miss Darby, you work me to death.
You look lively enough to me. Besides, we need to finish what we can this afternoon. It's going to rain tomorrow.
Roy frowned up at the sky, tipped back his cap.
Don't look like rain's coming.
Trust me. Or the National Weather Service. We're getting boomers tonight and a soaker tomorrow. You can sleep late.
He brightened right up.
Maybe sleep all damn day.
She helped wheel over the plants, jumped down so Hallie could pass them to her, to Gabe. It took all three of them to muscle down the crepe myrtle she wanted for the far end. When she'd placed them, she boosted herself back up, studied the effect.
Gabe, switch the mountain laurel, that one, with the azalea.
Yeah, better balance. It's going to look great.
Man your shovels, team. I'm going to check on Roy and Ralph.
She could see the good, solid bones of the wall as Roy and Ralph worked, communicating with grunts while Roy's iPod played country rock. There, she'd plant boomerang lilacs for the all-season color, the wonderful scent, one on either end as anchors to all the flow of texture and color between. And when Zane sat out on his pretty patio with those scents, those colors, with the little kitchen garden she'd already started in pots, he'd remember. She took a good glug from her water bottle, dived into the work. When Hallie called out,
"You want to take a look, boss, before we start hauling mulch?"
Darby stepped back, checked the time.
"Yeah, let me take a look. We can get that done, then you can knock off."
She gave Roy a poke in the ribs.
"All of you."
"I'm ready for that."
"Zane'll be home before much longer,"
Hallie commented as she started back with Darby.
"Won't he get an eyeful?"
"Are you going to hang around till he does?"
"Depends."
Hallie stopped, out of earshot of Gabe in front and the men in the back.
"You know, mornings when he wanders up to watch us working before he leaves for town, you can't help but feel the..."
She wiggled her fingers in the air.
"The..."
Darby mimicked the gesture.
"I know how to keep quiet, girl, but I'm telling you it's probably not as big a secret as you think that you and Zane are spending time."
Darby honestly hadn't thought about it one way or the other.
"It's not a secret, it's just a discretion."
"That's a word."
Hallie gave her a pat on the shoulder.
Anyway, he's what my granny would call a prime catch.
I'm not playing catch.
Boss, we're all playing catch. It's just nature.
Darby thought about that as she cleaned up, as the crew left. Maybe just to test things out, she needed to push discretion a bit. She hopped in her truck, drove home. Pausing on the road below, she looked up. And seeing that long curve of wall, the plants rising, fanning, she sighed. That's good work, she said aloud. That's damn good work. She'd barely showered off the day when the text came in from Zane.
Wow. Seriously, wow. I owe you a beer, a bottle of wine, half my takeout lasagna. Come back.
Oh, she wanted to. Maybe a little too much. But she looked around at so much in her own space she'd neglected. Wait until dusk when the lights come up. Even more serious, wow. Must pass on the beer or wine and lasagna. Gotta catch up on paperwork. Take a walk outside for me after dark.
I will. Don't work too hard. See you tomorrow.
Didn't anybody check the weather forecast? But she only typed back, night. The storm crashed in with a flash and a boom. A solid sleeper, Darby slept right through the roar of it, then popped out of a dead sleep a full hour before her internal alarm. She lay in the dark, watching the electric slaps, listening to the echoing bangs and the thunder of flooding rain. With sleep a fond memory, her mind circled from waterfalls, couldn't wait to start on it, to paperwork, all nicely current, to Zane. Was he awake too? If she'd gone back as he'd asked, she'd have company right now through the big bad storm. And her paperwork wouldn't be all nicely current. Trade-offs, she supposed, as her mind continued to wander. When lightning lit up the bedroom like a Broadway stage, she decided to get up. In the kitchen, she made coffee and drank it in the open doorway, absorbing the wrath of the storm. Something to see, she thought, all that energy rolling and pounding, the cracks over the sky like shattered glass, the rocket flashes that threw the mountains into eerie relief before plunging them into the black again. Still, it brought home to her just how isolated she was. She might be on an island somewhere on a raging sea. With plenty of food, she reminded herself, a solid roof over her head, and power. At least she had power for the moment. Thinking of that, she gathered up flashlights, checked the batteries, filled a couple of jugs with water, and thought about getting a small generator. And a dog. Dogs were good company, she mused. She should definitely consider getting a dog. But right now seemed a great time to attack ugly wallpaper. By midday, the storm had long since turned into a steady, soaking rain and the air to a steam bath. After breaks to vent frustration, Darby scraped off the last stubborn strip of kitchen wallpaper.
"You're fucking Rika,"
she muttered and shoved her cap back to swipe at her face.
"I won, you bastard."
Maybe her kitchen resembled a war zone, but she'd won. Now all she had to do was wash down the walls, which revealed themselves in a hideous shade of moldy green, wait for them to dry, probably sometime in the next century, prime and paint. She stepped over a pile of defeated wallpaper, crouched down to get a bucket from under the seat, and lost 10 years of her life at the rap-rap on her open kitchen door jamb. There stood Zane, hair a little damp and wearing a dark suit.
God, you gave me a start. I didn't hear you drive up in all this rain.
A dog, she thought again. She needed to look into getting a dog. You're wearing a suit.
I was in court this morning.
You look different. Good, but different. He glanced around her war zone, smiled.
House cleaning?
Straightening, she jabbed a finger at ragged strips, piles, scraps of wallpaper.
I killed it.
From what I can see, it looks like self-defense. I'll get you off.
They wallpapered over wallpaper. Who knew? He studied the walls.
That paint color might be worse.
I know it. I know it. I may have to get a priest, a shaman, a white witch, whatever, to come in here and exorcise the spirits of evil decorating.
Are you doing this and lots of laundry?
It smells like lots of laundry.
Fabric softener. One part to one part really hot water equals a good non-chemical wallpaper solvent.
How do you know that?
Internet. Don't get any of this crap on your shoes. They look like really nice shoes. Is there food in that bag?
You were on my way back, sort of, from court, and I've got a couple hours before I need to be in the office. I picked up Chinese.
You picked up Chinese. She may have fallen at least a little bit in love as he stood in her steam bath of a kitchen, with its horrible walls and his lawyer suit and excellent shoes, holding a bag of Chinese takeout.
I wanted to make sure you were okay. That was one bitch of a storm this morning. Branches and limbs all over the place. Plus, I wanted to see you.
Straight up honesty, she decided, on both sides. Hallie mentioned she and people are speculating about you and me.
You're not in Baltimore anymore, he began, then angled his head. Is having people speculate a problem for you?
No, I thought it might be for you.
Why?
She puffed out her cheeks. I don't know exactly. I'm out of practice, Zane, on how this all works. Plus, I'm the new girl around here, and you're the returning son. And, he thought, their relationship, so far, almost exclusively consisted of evenings, nights, mornings at his house. That he could fix.
What are you doing Saturday night?
I'll have to check my busy social calendar.
How about you squeeze in dinner at Grandy's?
I think I can juggle that in.
For now, how do you feel about sweet and sour pork?
I feel really good about it. Why don't we eat out on the front porch? It's probably cooler out there than in here. And it's certainly less ugly.
Sounds perfect.
Just let me wash up.
No, don't touch me. I'm disgusting. I think there's a clean spot right here.
He continued in, cupped her chin, kissed her. Part 3. From Roots to Blooming. Kind hearts are the gardens. Kind thoughts are the roots. Kind words are the flowers. Kind deeds are the fruits. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. The earth remains jagged and broken only to him or her who remains jagged and broken. Walt Whitman. Chapter 16. The following evening, though she discouraged it, Zane came to her place to partner up in the battle of the wallpaper. You have no idea what you're getting into.
You think I can't handle it? I have my own scraper.
He held it up. Oh, it's all shiny and new. Not for long. All right, come on up. I'll show you the battlefield. And I'm letting you know right now, if you decide to back out at any time, I won't hold it against you.
Obviously, you doubt not only my skills, my endurance, but my... Holy shit.
He gaped at her bedroom walls.
What is it?
It is the beast. It's what slouched toward Bethlehem to be born.
It's...
Cautiously, he ran a hand down it, felt the weird texture.
It's somewhere between abandoned bordello and fresh hell. How do you sleep in here?
With my eyes closed.
Even then? Maybe we need reinforcements. Or napalm.
I figured we'd start with the bathroom. It's smaller. He followed her across the hall, stared at the fish.
It's sort of oddly amusing.
You wouldn't say that if you're in the shower and they're all staring at you.
Bad, but not as bad. No, we go for the gold and red and black. We take on the beast. Show me what to do.
30 minutes in, Zane looked at his partially stripped wall and the screaming blue paint uncovered. He glanced over to check Darby's progress. Slightly better than his, but she'd had practice.
Reinforcements, he announced. I'll draft Micah.
Zane, I can't ask him to-
You're not, I am. You got beer, wine, snacks?
Yes. He pulled out his phone so Darby swallowed objections. Especially when she looked at the walls, the room, and estimated hours before they'd eradicate her bedroom nightmare.
He's in. Cassie's coming too. She's actually done this before.
He pocketed the phone.
She still has the tools.
She liked Cassie, who taught yoga, made pottery, and added a kind of bouncy, new-agey touch to Micah's laid-back geek. That's beyond nice of them.
I'm just a little worried.
What? They know you bought the house this way.
Not that. It's, what if, in these close quarters, Mike is distracted by my hotness and hurts himself?
Funny.
Zane grabbed her, pulled her in. While Zane and Darby stripped wallpaper with the affable Micah and the chatty, cheerful Cassie, Eliza cleaned the dinner dishes. Graham had actually complimented her attempt at chicken and rice, had eaten well despite the sticky rice and dry chicken. No wonder she adored him. She felt he'd adjusted very well. When he'd first gotten his driver's license reinstated, he'd insisted she accompany him everywhere. But he'd gradually regained his confidence. She knew he disliked his job. Working in a medical supply store was lowering, but it fulfilled the terms of his parole, and now that he could drive to and from the strip mall, he'd gained some independence. She hadn't cared for her job at first either, terms of her own parole. But now that Graham was back and he'd insisted she quit, she found she missed the interaction. She had no social contacts, and since he took the car, nothing to do all day but stay home. Her old life, the parties, the club, the lunches with friends, all of it lived inside her like a dream. Calculating his mood, the timing, Eliza mixed them both an after-dinner drink. The dishes could wait. After all, she'd have the entire next day alone to deal with them. After carrying the drinks to the living room, she sat beside him. He kissed her cheek as she curled her legs up.
Thanks, lover.
It's such a nice night. Maybe we could take a walk.
Too many nosy neighbors.
I guess you're right.
She tipped her head to his shoulder.
Graham, I've been thinking I should get a car.
What for?
To shop, run errands.
You do all that on my days off.
Yes, but sometimes I think of something in the middle of the day, and I know how you dislike me asking you to pick something up on your way home.
The lines around his mouth only dug deeper.
You should be more organized. It's all you have to do, Eliza. You don't have to get up every morning and go to a humiliating, menial job, do you?
No.
Instinctively, she rubbed a hand on his thigh.
I hate that you do. I hate it for you, but it won't be forever. When this is over, we'll be able to go wherever we want, start a real life together again. It'll be like it used to be, Graham. We'll buy a lovely house, join the country club. We can travel. We can—
Are you just stupid?
Graham.
How are we supposed to pay for all that? Goddamn lawyers took nearly everything.
I know. She rubbed his thigh. But we still have some money, and I have my trust.
He threw the drink in her face, blinding her so she didn't see the first slap coming.
Don't. Please. You promised after the last time you wouldn't hit me anymore. It's not like it used to be, Graham. And I can't—
Nothing's like it used to be.
He slapped her again.
Your trust, you stupid, selfish bitch.
He shoved her to the floor, hitting her again when she tried to scramble up and away.
You want a big house, the country club, a goddamn car so you can go wherever you please while I'm humiliated selling blood pressure cuffs?
When he dragged her up, pushed her against the wall, she tried to twist away, but he wrenched her arm, shooting pain through her that buckled her knees.
What do you do? What the fuck do you do? Sit around all day thinking of what to complain about? You can't even make a decent meal, you useless cunt.
Stop.
You want a car? You want a car so you can drive to some motel with whoever you were fucking while I was locked up like an animal?
I never, not with anyone. I waited for you.
Liar.
The gut punch would have doubled her over if he hadn't pinned her to the wall.
You could never go 2 days without sex. Who knows better?
With you.
With me.
He shoved up her skirt, yanked down her panties. It hurt. When he raped her against the wall, there was only pain, no thrill, no deep, dark excitement. And when he'd finished, when she dropped, weeping, to her knees, he stepped back, zipped his pants.
You're not even good at that anymore.
He kicked her, but put no real force behind it. That glorious, energizing rage had faded. He walked into the kitchen, glanced with disgust at the dishes yet to be washed, and mixed himself another drink. After his clients left, Zane sat at his desk. Clint and Tracy Draper had given him a bad feeling. The consult had been odd enough, a boundary dispute with the potential client's desire to sue a neighbor over what amounted to about 25 square feet of land. Seeing as Draper claimed the land after a self-conducted new survey, his case was shaky at best. But what concerned Zane were the clients themselves. The fact that Draper, down to the rebel flag belt buckle, appeared to put the red in redneck didn't bother Zane. His assertion that his neighbors had a faggot for a son did, considerably. What had troubled him even more than Draper's brash, bigoted bullshit was the fact that his wife spent most of the consult with her eyes cast down and her mouth shut. He knew the Draper family, hill people who kept to themselves. They'd had a reputation as hard-assed, bigoted troublemakers even when he'd been a kid. It struck him that Clint, the youngest of them, wanted to keep that rep going. Rising, Zane circled the room, picked up his baseball, rubbed the stitching as he paced. He remembered Tracy's older sister a little. And wasn't it odd when Zane had mentioned her sister, or asked any question of Tracy directly, she'd glanced at her husband, as if for permission, before answering. Not odd, Zane corrected. Telling. He put the ball back on his desk, walked out to reception.
The Drapers didn't look happy when they left, Maureen commented.
They wouldn't be after I pointed out that doing his own survey, one that two professional surveys dispute, wasn't going to fly on his claim for a foot-wide strip of land. Added to it, his neighbors have used said foot-wide strip of land, maintained it, have a hedge planted on it for over 20 years. Pointing that out, suggesting if they wanted to pursue this boundary issue, he hire a reputable surveyor, made me, in Draper's opinion, an asshole city lawyer who didn't know shit about shit.
Did you see the bumper sticker on his pickup?
Gretchen, a trim, petite, streaky-haired blonde with a sharp legal mind, spoke up from her desk.
Sorry, interrupting.
No, that's okay, and I didn't. What about it?
It said, "You won't get my guns, but you might get my bullets."
Charming.
Zane sat.
What do you know about Tracy, Maureen? I don't remember her at all, but I knew her sister a little.
Not much. She's younger than my kids. Her dad's a mechanic. We still take our cars to his garage. Nice guy, friendly enough.
Right, I forgot. Mr. Abbott, sure.
The mother's a little shy, but affable. Works at the bakery here in town. The Drapers, now, they're more hill people than lake people.
That I remember, too.
Well, it seems to me the kids, four boys, were mostly homeschooled. I'm stretching my memory and talent for gossip, she added, but I think one of them went into the service. Another one just took off and ended up in jail for cooking meth. One's married, lives out there with his wife and kids on the Draper land. Clint would be the youngest, I think, and he and Tracy got married about a year ago.
Okay.
If you want to know more, you might ask Lee. I know he's had the two youngest as guests, in jail, a time or two. But I'm wondering why you're asking if you're not taking them as clients.
She never looked me in the eye, not once. She couldn't have said as much as 10 words.
She might be shy like her mama.
It wasn't shy. I've got some time, right?
You're clear for the next hour.
I'm going to take a walk.
He walked straight to the police station. Of course, straight in the small town south meant stopping half a dozen times over the 3-block walk when someone called out to him, having conversations about the weather, hot and humid, how Emily was doing, how he liked living up in the fancy house. When he finally got there, he found a couple of officers, including his brother-in-law, working at their desks, the dispatcher at her station. More conversations, thankfully brief.
I was hoping for a few minutes with Lee. Is the chief in?
Yep, in his office, Silas told him.
Go right on back.
He found Lee at his desk, scowling at his computer screen. The scowl cleared when Lee looked up.
A distraction. Just what I need. Budget. Pain in my ass. Come on in.
The office suited Lee. Small, spare, but for a few family photos. It held a couple of creaky visitor chairs, a bulletin board, a whiteboard, both covered, a coffee maker holding dregs, and a stack of files on the desk. Though Lee's door was rarely closed, Zane closed it behind him. Lee lifted his eyebrows.
Problem?
I don't know, I just turned away a client. Clint Draper.
Nodding, Lee gestured to a chair, leaned back in his.
Boundary line. Doesn't matter how wrong he is, how many ways he's told he's wrong, he won't let it go. I guess he wants to sue Sam McConnell.
On the strength of a survey he and his brother conducted themselves. He didn't like being told it wouldn't wash.
Are you worried he'll take a swing at you?
Should I be?
Lee puffed out his cheeks.
I wouldn't think he'd come at you. You're young and fit, and he's a coward under it. We did answer a call a few weeks back. Mary Lou, Sam's wife, called 911 when Draper started a pissing match with Sam over the line. Tried hacking at the hedges. But then Sam's older than me, and not what you'd call robust. Those properties are just inside my jurisdiction. The rest of the Drapers belong to county, and I can't say I'm sorry about that.
Maureen said you've had him here as your guest a couple times.
Drunken disorderlies, pushy shoveys.
Have you ever been called out to his place for anything other than the border business?
Once again, Lee lifted his eyebrows.
Such as?
He brought his wife, Tracy, with him. I know the look, Lee, the attitude, the signals. I know when I'm looking at abuser and abused.
Now Lee let out a sigh.
We've never had a domestic disturbance call out there. I'm going to say despite the border bullshit, the houses aren't within spitting distance. And Clint's brother Jed, who he runs with, is on the other side. Old man Draper's lands behind Clint's place.
Zane nodded slowly.
So she's surrounded. You could look at it that way. I know about a month after they got married, Tracy took a fall, had a miscarriage. They both say she felt lightheaded, tripped, and fell down the stairs. Her mother came to me, swore he'd done it somehow, but Tracy stuck to the story, and there wasn't a sign that's not what happened.
But it's not what you think happened.
I know the signs, the attitude, the look, too. But she never budged from the story. I pushed it as far as I could, even slipped her Brit's card.
All right. I wanted to see if my instincts on this hit the mark. Thanks, Lee.
Nothing you can do,
Lee said as Zane rose.
Nothing the law can do unless she changes her story, unless she comes to us for help.
I know. I hope she does, because you could and would help her.
Maybe, Zane thought as he walked back to his office. She needed to hear that from someone who knew the fear, the helplessness. He kept it to himself, but 2 days later, Zane drove out to the disputed property line. He took a casual walk along it and up to the Draper house. He knew, because he'd asked around, the family had built the little two-story place. He could see the windows sparkled, and someone had tried to spruce it up with a small, struggling flower bed. He could see a clothesline, a vegetable garden in the back, and Tracy hoeing weeds. When he wandered back, he knew by the look of alarm on her face he'd been right about her life here.
Ms. Draper.
He gave her an easy smile, kept his distance. She wore a straw hat and a long cotton dress with the sleeves rolled to just below the elbows. She had to be roasting. And though he knew the answer, had made certain of it, asked,
Is Mr. Draper home?
He's at work. He's working with his brother at the feed and grain outside Asheville. You have to come back after 4:30 if you want words with him.
Oh, that's all right. I just thought I'd come take a look at the line, maybe give y'all the name of a surveyor.
He doesn't need a surveyor. He and his brother did it themselves. I need to get my weeding done.
You've got some nice tomatoes going there. Pretty land.
It wasn't, but he could see she tried to make it so.
That foot-wide strip won't make any difference to you.
She kept her eyes down, wouldn't meet his. Her hands gripped the hoe like a weapon.
Clint wants what's his.
Pretty sure he's got what's his.
Ms. Draper. Tracy. I've been where you are. Her eyes wheeled up, then down again.
I don't know what you mean. I need to get back to work now.
I think you do know. Your sister was only a couple years ahead of me in school. She'd have heard the story. I was afraid, too. Afraid to tell anybody. Afraid he'd hurt me worse if I tried, or that no one would believe me. We can help you.
You need to go. Clint doesn't like people coming by when he's not here.
So he can keep you isolated, cut off, under his thumb with his family close and yours not. You can trust Chief Keller. You can trust me and my sister. All you have to do is ask for help and you'll get it. He'll never hurt you again.
My husband doesn't hurt me. Now you best leave.
If you ever need help, you call. He took a card out of his case, laid it on the stump he imagined they used to chop wood. It's all you have to do. Almost certain she wouldn't call, Zane left her, walked the line back, then cut over to the McConnell home, a study in contrasts. Though it might have started out about the size of the Drapers, they'd added on nearly that much again with large windows, wide porches. And now that he knew how to recognize it, some very nice landscaping. Like Tracy, he found both the McConnells in their back garden. The woman, sturdy in knee-length shorts and floppy-brimmed hat, straightened, pressed a hand to her lower back.
Well, look here, Sam. It's the young Walker boy. Come on back here, Zane. You won't remember me. I taught at the middle school, but I never had you. Had your sister one year, though.
It's nice to see you. He shook hands with both of them. That's a garden and a half. Always plant too much.
Sam, a bandana covering his balding head, knobby knees jutting out from his shorts, shook his head.
The grandkids put up a roadside stand to sell some of it, and we still give bags away.
It's time for a breather, Mary Lou declared. How about we sit in the shade of the porch, have some lemonade?
I wouldn't say no.
He walked back with them, took a seat with Sam while Mary Lou went inside.
A lawyer now, aren't you? Yes, sir.
Sam pulled out another bandana, wiped his sweaty face.
That Draper boy hire you? He tried. He hasn't got a case, Mr. McConnell, and I told him as much. I expect, considering you've been to your own lawyer and been told the same.
We have.
And if he keeps on at us, we can sue him for harassment. I'd rather avoid that kind of thing. I don't blame you.
Zane got up to take the tray of lemonade from Mrs. McConnell.
I heard enough to know you've got the good sense not to take a fool and a bully on for a client,
she said, pouring the lemonade over ice.
Yes, ma'am, I do. The boundary issue isn't why I'm here. It's an excuse. I wanted to ask, and I know it's not my business, but I need to ask if either of you know of any trouble next door, between Clint and Tracy.
He noted the quick exchanged look.
We stay out of their way, Sam began, as much as we can. They aren't what you'd call friendly.
She won't say boo, Mary Lou continued. I had her in school 2 years. She had a good brain, did well, had friends, was a little shy, but not timid. I took them over a cake when they moved in. She took it politely enough, but wouldn't ask me inside. Even said she didn't remember my classes, though I could see she did. I tried again when that poor girl lost her baby. He wouldn't let me in, though he took the casserole I took over quick enough. Never returned the dish.
Oh, now, Mary Lou, it wasn't your best one.
It's the principal, Sam. Chief Keller asked us what you're asking. We had to tell him what we're telling you. We never heard or seen anything that looks like he's physically abusing her, but I've looked out the window upstairs, seen her out hanging wash, crying while she did. She's not the girl I knew back when she was 10, 12. She's not that girl. It's breaking her mama's heart. Her mama, as good a woman as I know, isn't welcome over there. Her sister, either. Not since she lost the baby, and not much before that, either.
The Drapers are hard people, Sam added. We steer clear, and never had any trouble to speak of until the boy built that house. I'd give him the damn land at this point, but Mary Lou won't hear of it.
I will not. You give in to a bully, they find something else to bully you over.
You've got that right, Zane agreed.
He stewed and chewed over it a bit longer, then found himself telling Darby. She listened over a beer on his back patio. I met Tracy's sister at Best Blooms. Joy introduced us. Allie was in there looking for a hanging basket for her mom for Mother's Day, and Joy asked how Tracy was doing. Apparently, she used to work for Joy in the busy season.
I didn't know that.
Allie just said she didn't see much of her. It struck me she would have said more if I hadn't been there, so I wandered off. They talked for a while. It sounds to me like the classic separation tactic. Shifting, she looked at Zane directly. So this is what's been on your mind. I figured it must be some legal wrangle you couldn't talk about, but it's not. Why didn't you tell me before?
They're not clients, so there's no privilege, but...
He waggled a hand in the air, and she pointed at him. Not it.
Not altogether.
Some elements are similar to what happened to me. The separation gambit, for instance. Did you think it would upset me to talk about an abused spouse? Because you're right, she's being abused. If it's not physical, it's certainly emotional.
I had concerns there, yeah. It's always under there, right? And those memories, the feelings, are so easily triggered. I didn't want to trigger yours.
You, obviously, look to protect. It's your nature. I object to being protected. I have to. It's a survivor trait. On the issue of abuse and triggers, I'm solid. My experience was thankfully short-lived, and I came out of it smarter and stronger.
Can't apologize for my nature.
Nope. Me neither. But if we're in a relationship... Tipping her head, she gave him a long look. Would you say we're in a relationship?
It has all the earmarks thereof.
Thereof. Lawyer. She smiled, sipped. In that case, this is just the sort of troubling event we should be able to talk about. Now, would you like my take on the troubling event?
I would.
From what you've said, it sounds as if Clint was raised to believe men are in charge and superior. Women are meant to do what they're told, tend the house, have children. She was pregnant, probably why they got married in the first place. Now she's not. Whether or not he had anything to do with her losing the baby, and my money's on he did, she failed in one of her duties. She's cut off from her family and surrounded by his and their particular culture.
She could walk away, Zane pointed out. Her family's right here. So's the law. I know it's not as simple as that, but
it's not. Yes, she's an adult. You weren't. Yes, she has family. She has support if she reaches for it, but... She sighed, heartfelt and long. After Trent, part of my therapy was group sessions. Jesus, Zane, the stories I heard. Women who'd stayed for years. Women who got out, then went back again and again.
Revolving door, Zane said. That's what we called it.
But it wasn't because they wanted to be hurt, not because they were weak. It was because they'd been beaten down emotionally, spiritually, mentally. Because they were caught in a cycle. Abused by a parent, now a spouse. Or because they believed he'd changed, convinced by him or themselves it wouldn't happen again. Or if it did, they deserved it. And some because they had nowhere else to go.
I know it. I prosecuted my share of batterers. Just like I know I can't help Tracy Draper. Lee can't help her, her family can't help her, until she steps across the line and asks.
And you want to help, she concluded. Even need to help. So it pisses you off you can't help.
Oh, yeah. And since it does, let's put it away. Put it the hell away. Let's call Britt. Have her bring Silas and Audra and Molly up. Hang out.
Darby cocked an eyebrow. And what do you plan to feed them? It's unlikely they've had dinner yet.
Delivery?
Darby shook her head. Big, beautiful grill right there. And if you wait until tomorrow, you could ask your whole family. Use that grill, having picked up red meat. And your back wall will not only be finished, but planted.
Not as spontaneous.
No, but... She rose, skirted the table, straddled his lap. We could try a different kind of spontaneity.
We could.
He watched, a little stupefied when she peeled off her shirt.
Here? But it's...
A really pretty evening, she finished, and took his mouth with hers. Chapter 17. He hadn't hit her that hard, and God knew she deserved it. And more. She'd barely lost consciousness after her head struck the floor, with a satisfying thud. He hadn't bothered to hit her again, and certainly hadn't bothered with sex. She'd lost her appeal in that area. It amazed him now how much passion he'd once felt for her, how perfectly she'd suited him in every way. My God, he'd even forgiven her for betraying him, accepted her sobbing apology, her excuses about being weak, afraid, being manipulated by the police, her own family. But now, stuck together in this ugly box of a house, coming home from humiliating work to find her putting some disgusting excuse for a meal together, night after endless night? She reminded him every day, every hour, every minute of all he'd lost. Her fault, too. If she'd handled the little brat upstairs, he would have dealt with the disappointing, disrespectful son she'd given him. Then she'd turned on him, betrayed him, told their secrets in exchange for a lighter sentence. He'd done 18 goddamn years due to her weakness. It was past time she understood she'd cost him everything. Past time she accepted the punishment for it. If she'd done what she'd been supposed to do, he'd still be Dr. Bigelow. Still be someone important. Still have his life and not wake up in the middle of the night in a sweat as he dreamed of prison. Yes, she'd cost him everything, and he should never have let himself forget that. She and the children they should never have had were responsible. She'd cost him nearly 20 years, and she had the nerve to whine to him again about getting a car, a job, moving. Then that sad, sad look she'd given him when she'd come to. Still, she'd done the dishes. He hadn't had to tell her that a second time, while he'd watched TV. Because what else was there to do with the endless evenings in this shack they rented like a couple of losers? He hadn't noticed her slurred speech immediately. He hadn't been listening to her endless whiny chatter. Then she'd said his name like a question, before she'd collapsed, before she'd seized. He'd watched for a moment or two, more fascinated than alarmed, before he'd gone to her, dealt with her. But he knew, made his diagnosis, as he watched her slide away. Subdural hematoma. A brain bleed. Head blows were tricky that way with all those tiny veins in the meninges. When she died in his arms, he stroked her hair, even wept. Then the truth struck. Walking out of the prison gates hadn't given him freedom. But this did. He had cash in the house. He'd instructed her to withdraw cash every week for all these years. Some instinct, he decided, must have foreseen this very day. He could get more, would need more, as credit cards left a trail. He'd need 2 days, report to his probation officer on Friday, report to work on Saturday. He had Sunday and Monday off. He could, as he'd yet to take a day, call in sick Tuesday and Wednesday. He doubted his supervisor would report him right away, so he would have as much as a week's head start. He had a car and would keep to back roads, to the speed limit, use cash. As steps and purpose ran through his mind, he realized under it all that he'd planned for this all along. He knew not only what to do, but what had to be done. He'd spent years saving lives, and they'd taken that from him. Wasn't it true justice for him to now take lives? To take the lives of the people who'd stolen his?
You freed me, Eliza.
He stroked her hair, her cheek.
Be happy for me.
Rising, he went to the bedroom, took a blanket, a pillow, and arranged them in the tiny second bedroom. He carried her in, laid her carefully down on the floor, then covered her with a sheet. He wasn't an animal. Darby consulted with a client at the woman's pretty lakeside cottage. Noting the dock, the boat, the slope, and rickety wooden steps leading down to both, Darby already had ideas.
I bet when you're not out on the water, you're sitting up there looking at it, Darby mused.
You'd win that bet,
Patsy Marsh, a cheerful woman in her 50s, just smiled.
My Bill and I love living on the lake. Our kids are both in college now, but when they're home, they're right out there with us. Do you like to sail?
I haven't tried it yet. Busy season for me.
So I see and hear. I'm hoping you can help us out, even though it'll make you busier. You can see,
Patsy said as she gestured at the slope.
We just can't keep mowing that. Bill kept saying leave it be, then he had a fall with the mower and I put my foot down. He wasn't hurt, but he could have been. He finally threw up his hands and said to call that girl who did Emily's place.
I'm glad he did, because you're right. He could have been hurt. You said you were thinking ground covers.
Something that we don't have to mow but isn't unsightly, doesn't get too tall.
I can give you some recommendations there, but...
Uh-oh!
Now Patsy laughed.
Emily told me to watch out if you said but.
She knows me too well.
I'm willing to listen.
I'd like to think about what I'd do if a client's place was my place. And what I'd do here is, first, replace those steps with stone. Widen them another foot.
I've been telling Bill somebody's going to go right through one of them and break an ankle. Keep going.
On the slope, I'd continue this really nice patio by doing a couple terraces of raised beds, matching the stone on the steps. Curved terraces to mirror the curve of the lake, low shrubs and perennials. And at the base, I'd do river rock.
I've seen that wall you built up at Zane's place and it's gorgeous, but it's so structured. It feels like it wouldn't work for the cottage.
Ah, Darby thought, a woman who can see what's good, what's not. Excellent. You're right, it wouldn't. You want something pretty, but a little more, well, cottagey, like the soft sand brown of your patio. I'd want that same look.
I've never been able to plant anything on this damn slope.
Your front garden's beautiful, and so are your patio planters. You do it yourself?
I do, and I love to garden. I'd love plants out here.
Curved, she murmured.
Wouldn't that just look sweet?
It would, from your house, your patio, and from the water. I could do a rough sketch for you to show your husband.
Why don't you do that? We're going to need some numbers.
I can work that up. Let me get some measurements.
Emily told me you'd have ideas.
She had a million of them and dispensed more to another potential client in Lakeview Terrace. Darby walked the lake-facing backyard, enormous yard, with the pert and perky Charlene. Your house, your view, your gardens are absolutely stunning. Why do you need me?
I really want to keep the gardens stunning. I can't take credit for them. We just moved in this winter, but Joe and I have done our best to keep them up. The thing is, we both work full-time, have an active 2-year-old who's with his Grammy today, and we're expecting our second in November.
Congratulations.
Thanks, we're excited. The thing is, we need someone to do fall maintenance, spring cleanup, and at least for a while help us with what we've got here every couple weeks. The owners before us did a hell of a good job, but she was retired and an avid gardener. Before them, the owners had, I'm told, groundskeepers.
And that's what you're looking for.
More or less. But both Joe and I want to work at it, too. It's relaxing and satisfying, and it's our yard. It's just we sure need to learn more than we know now. We figure when we can to sort of shadow you.
That's what I like to hear. If the goal is to have a beautiful landscape and have someone else deal with it, nothing's wrong with that. But better to my mind to take real ownership. You have busy lives, Darby added. That's where we come in. I can put you on a schedule for the twice monthly maintenance and we'd follow the weather for the spring and fall.
Perfect.
Can I ask how you heard about us?
Britt Norton. She and I both work at the clinic. I'm an urgent care doctor. And coincidentally, Britt used to live here.
Where Zane grew up. Darby turned to study the house again. All that beautiful glass made it seem so open. But it hadn't been. The grounds, blooming, graceful, made it seem so gracious. It had been anything but. How would he feel about her working here?
You know Britt, right?
Yes, I know Britt. I know the family. Why don't I give you a price list, and if you want us to go ahead, I'll send you a contract.
Perfect.
While you're here, there are a couple of plants I just can't figure out. I tried books, internet. Maybe you can tell me what they are.
Sure.
She walked around with Charlene, identified a few mystery plants as Charlene looked over the price list. Surely Zane had walked here as a boy. Maybe hit some fungos, tossed up a baseball to snag. Had he wandered out to the dock to sit dreaming by the water? Dreamed of pulling himself out of the grip of those undercurrents churning so violently inside the handsome house.
This is exactly what we need.
I'm sorry, Darby yanked herself back.
I was distracted. I said this is just what we need. Why don't you email the contract and Joe and I will look it over tonight?
When they came to terms, Darby walked back to her truck, torn between the elation of signing a twice-monthly client and worry over how Zane would feel. She might not have noticed the Mercedes across the street. Luxury cars peppered the development, but its engine turned over just as she reached her truck. She had a vague impression of a man behind the wheel in a ball cap and sunglasses before he pulled away from the curb and drove off. It struck her as slightly odd that she hadn't seen the driver walk to the car or get in, but she dismissed it. Still distracted, she thought. She had a couple more stops to make before joining the crew. They'd finally squeezed in a full day's work between guests at the next-to-last bungalow. But the nursery came first, and since Joy of Best Blooms had already talked to her good friend Patsy Marsh, she wanted to talk about the planned terraces, the plantings. The stop she'd estimated at 10 minutes took closer to 30, but she got what she needed. She hit the hardware store and another conversation. It was the South, after all, and she'd learned to roll with it. Though she'd intended to go straight to the bungalow, when she saw Emily's truck outside of reception, she pulled in. To check the rock garden, she took a winding route, gave a nod of satisfaction before winding back to the front door. Inside, Emily crunched her phone between her ear and shoulder while she keyboarded.
Happy to, and I've got you booked. Party of four for tomorrow at 8 a.m.
That's right.
Yes, they'll take good care of you.
You're welcome.
Bye now.
After pulling the phone free, she rolled her shoulders, tick-tocked her head.
You should get a headset.
I keep meaning to.
Emily, your hair!
Biting her bottom lip, Emily lifted a hand to her newly shorn bob.
Is it awful?
I love it. Seriously, it looks fun and breezy, and you got some highlights,
Darby added as she moved closer.
A few, just to perk it up.
It perked. It's a great cut. Who did it? I've been trimming my own since I got here because, well, it's hard to trust somebody with your hair. But I'd trust whoever gave you that cut.
Sari Binkum, down at Reflection Salon.
Do they do pedicures?
I'm doing my own there, too. My work's hard on the feet.
They sure do.
I'll try them out.
And I'm holding you up.
You're not. In fact, you're just in time because I need a break. Come sit outside on my very pretty patio.
5 minutes.
That's about all I've got, too. Time enough for a cold drink and a breath.
Back in the kitchen, Emily poured tea, making the ice in the glasses crackle.
I was going to head over to Bungalow 8 just to let you know the guests coming in tomorrow asked if they could check in at noon. Any way you can be finished?
I'll make sure we are.
You're a wonder, Darby.
After carrying out the tea, Emily sat at the little table with its cheerful striped umbrella.
I'm taking part of our 5 minutes to repeat what I told you up at Zane's the other night. I love what you've done, and you were right. I do look out the window and smile. Plus, bookings are up.
With a sigh, she looked around.
I needed to get this place and myself out of the rut. You kicked us out of it.
And I'll repeat my appreciation for the referrals. I got 2 new clients today.
Well, congratulations.
One of them is the family that lives in Zane's old house. Emily paused, then nodded slowly.
I see. You're worried that's going to be a problem for Zane, for Britt, for the rest of us?
Yes. Well, I don't think Britt, as she's my referral. The client's Dr. Charlene Ledbecker. She works at the urgent care at the clinic.
Good for Britt,
Emily stated. It couldn't have been easy for her to make a connection with the woman who owns the house where so much happened to her.
Britt's got spine.
So does Zane.
I know it, but it's a house, Darby. It wasn't the house that hurt those children.
Do you want my advice?
It's why I'm here.
Talk to Zane. Get it off your mind.
I will.
I wanted to talk to you, too.
It's a house. Emily patted Darby's hand. I think of Eliza in it once in a while.
Those moments when you can't sleep and your mind starts roaming to dredge up every mistake you ever made.
I know those moments.
I can wish I'd made more of an effort to be close to her, but then would it have mattered? Would that have changed anything?
I think of her now once in a while. Wonder if I should reach out to her.
Our parents aren't getting any younger, and there's been no contact in nearly 20 years. Should there be? I'm never sure if that would matter or change anything. But I know Zane and Britt deserve my unwavering support and loyalty. So I don't reach out.
She shrugged it off.
I like seeing him happy. You make him happy.
I think we were both ready, both at a point where we were ready to be happy.
Being happy with someone's like a bonus. Now I'm going to finish your bungalow.
I'll come down and look as soon as I can.
Sit, Darby said as Emily started to get up. She came around behind, rubbed Emily's shoulders.
Finish your tea.
Smell your flowers.
5 more minutes.
Reaching back, Emily squeezed Darby's hand.
Stay happy.
That's the plan. Zane wasn't sure what he was in for when Darby texted she planned to cook dinner, especially since she put cook in scare quotes. Still, he figured if it bombed, they had frozen pizza or canned ravioli. When he walked in after a pretty damn good day, she stood in the kitchen chopping a bunch of stuff he assumed meant salad. And whatever she had in the oven smelled really okay. A bottle of wine stood open on the counter with 2 glasses.
This here's what I'm talking about. My woman making me a hot meal.
He exaggerated the southern, gave her a light slap on the butt to punctuate it. When she just rolled her eyes and laughed, he bent down to kiss the infinity symbol on the back of her neck.
What's the occasion?
Besides being Tuesday? We finished the next-to-last bungalow and started prep work for your water feature, and I signed 2 more clients.
Big day. Sounds like I should make you a hot meal.
Your turn next. But you sure could pour that wine.
He liked coming home, finding her there. Maybe he got some twinges about just how much he liked it, but one look at her and they died away.
He supposed he could work up some twinges over how easily the twinges died away, but that edged into paranoid territory.
So, what are we having?
This very healthy salad, which includes some of your own nasturtium.
I have nasturtium? What is it?
She tapped her finger at the bold orange and yellow flowers on the counter.
Flowers?
That one set him back.
We're eating flowers?
They're not only edible and pretty, but very tasty, as are their leaves, which are already in the salad.
Okay, but you go first. Coward.
She plucked a petal off a flower, popped it in her mouth. Yum.
Uh-huh. What are we eating besides flowers?
The amazing mac and cheese I made, not from a box, but from scratch.
Get out. How is that even possible?
I asked that question when Hallie and Roy started arguing about which of their mamas made the best mac and cheese in the history of mac and cheese. I made some comment about those handy microwave packages of same and was met with serious disdain. I mean, serious. Anyway, she picked up her wine, drank, gestured. After my humiliation came inspiration. I went with Hallie's because she called her mother right then and there, rattled off the recipe, adding any fool could make it. I am that fool. She gestured again, drank again. And let me point out right now, there was nothing easy about it. You'd think, mac and cheese, how hard could it be?
I can't even talk about it.
The oven timer buzzed. Well, here we go. She went over, opened the oven door.
It smells good.
Zane said over her shoulder.
It looks good.
It does.
It does. She slid on mitts, took it out to set on the counter where they both studied it. She took out her phone.
You're going to take a picture of it?
Don't judge me, Walker.
She picked it up again, carried it outside. Bring the salad and the wine. We'll start with the salad while it cools down some, she told him. And I'll drown myself in the wine if the mac and cheese sucks. She had flowers on the table again, different ones in a blue mason jar she must have brought over or picked up somewhere. He looked at her while she served the salad, the short cap of russet, he'd decided to stick with russet, hair, the depthless blue eyes, the diamond-edged cheekbones.
I could get used to this, he decided, coming home to a pretty woman, a pretty table, a hot meal.
I wouldn't get used to the hot meal. I swear to sweet little plastic baby Jesus, digging a hole in rocky ground with a pickaxe is easier than cooking. I can say that because today I did both.
Renaissance woman. The salad's good. Even, strangely, the flowers. So, new clients?
Yeah, Patsy and Bill Marsh.
I know them. They're friends with Emily and Lee. Serious boat people.
That they are. I'm giving them lakeside appeal. Versus curb appeal, because lake. And I've been promised, or threatened with, a day out on their boat.
Don't like boats?
I like them fine. I've been out on one with an engine, even kayaked a few times. But I've never been on a boat with a sail. I love watching them, the way they just seem to glide along, like magic. I guess you know how to sail.
Yeah, I grew up with boats. I haven't been sailing in years. Probably a trigger.
Which he hadn't realized until that very moment.
I should test that out. I could rent one. Take you sailing.
Seems like I ought to try it eventually, since Lake. Are you ready to risk the main event here?
More than.
Okay, here goes. With some trepidation, she dished up the mac and cheese. Watching Zane, she took a forkful. Together on three. One, two. He ate, angled his head, then holding up a finger, forked up another bite.
It's freaking great.
With obvious surprise, she studied the next bite on her fork.
It's really good. Who knew?
Got a nice little kick, too.
Tabasco. Still harder than digging holes, but ultimately just as satisfying. She wiggled her eyebrows. So what was your plan if it did indeed suck?
I was working on brutal yet sympathetic honesty with a bolstering, hey, you tried, since if it sucked, you'd know, and any attempt to pretend it didn't would be seen rightfully as patronizing bullshit.
I think that's acceptable. I need to tell you about my other new clients.
Sure.
They moved here last winter, moved into Lakeview Terrace. They bought the house you grew up in. He said nothing for a moment, but stopped eating, topped off both wine glasses.
Okay.
She knows Britt. They both work at the clinic. Charlene Ledbecker. She's a doctor. He's an engineer, works in Asheville. They're expecting their second child next fall. I wanted to give you a picture of them.
All right.
I didn't know until Charlene mentioned that Britt used to live in the house, what house it was. They want help with the grounds, a couple times a month and seasonally. They want to learn how to take care of the grounds. They... You don't care about any of that.
Not really. So you made me mac and cheese.
Inspired by Roy and Hallie's argument, she reminded him, what's more comforting than mac and cheese? I had to tell you, even knowing it would stir up bad memories.
Food as a security blanket?
She caught the tone, recognized irritation. It wasn't meant to be patronizing, Zane. I wanted to do something to balance out having to upset you. And instead, I've pissed you off.
What pisses me off, Darby, is the fact you clearly felt you had to tiptoe up to telling me you landed a client who happens to live in that house.
She actually felt her spine stiffen, her temper simmer up toward boil. It wasn't an insult to your manly balls. The tiptoeing was as much, maybe more, for me. I felt guilty, right or wrong. I felt guilty profiting over something that hurt you.
It doesn't hurt me, and my balls are insulted. I wouldn't have come back to Lakeview if I couldn't handle it, and both my balls and my brain are aware someone lives in that house. And if the people who do came to me on a legal matter, I'd handle that. Why wouldn't I?
Darby took a moment herself, then said two words. Tracy Draper.
He started to speak, felt the pin jab the air out of his righteous insult.
Yeah, well, you pointed out I was stupid about that, so you should have known you were being stupid about this.
Sounds like a wash to me, and you got mac and cheese out of it. I don't mind fighting, but if you want really stupid, it's fighting because somebody had concerns for your feelings.
We're not fighting.
At her long, slow stare, he blew out a breath.
We were disputing, and apparently we've settled the dispute.
She smirked. Lawyer.
Guilty.
Look, I spent some time hating the house. I even drew a picture of it, and I can't draw for shit in my journal back then. Drew it surrounded by the nine circles of hell.
You read Dante as a teen?
I read everything. It was one of the most surefire ways to go somewhere else for a while. I got over hating the house, or mostly. You working there isn't going to bother me. Don't let it bother you.
Then I won't.
See? Dispute settled. I'm having more of this.
He piled more mac and cheese on his plate.
You?
Half that.
How would you feel about leaving some of your stuff here instead of hauling your clothes in and out in your duffel?
It took her off guard, shot her off balance. One minute they're disputing, and the next he's making room in his closet.
And I could leave a few things at your place,
he continued in the same easy tone,
for those rainy days when I bring takeout after work and give you a hand with painting.
I really thought, that first time, this was just going to be about good, easy sex.
It is. Just not only about.
No, she thought. It wasn't just about. He'd already given her a key and the security code. For convenience. And leaving some clothes ranked the same, didn't it? Convenient. Why make a big deal? Who does the laundry? She demanded.
I could say you do it at your place, I do it here, but you're here more than I'm there, so those aren't equitable terms.
We take turns. I can agree to that. I'll bring some stuff to leave tomorrow.
God, she shoved her plate away. I don't care how good it is, I can't eat anymore.
Tell you what, we'll get these dishes out of the way, then walk this off. We'll stroll around here and you can tell me the names of stuff that's blooming even though I'll never remember.
You'll remember eventually. He smiled, polished off his mac and cheese.
It's sweet you really believe that, darling.
Sipping wine, Darby considered. They'd had their first fight.
Sort of.
Resolved it. They'd agreed to leave personal items at each other's places. And he'd called her darling for the first time in that gorgeous high country drawl. No doubt. Absolutely none. They'd just entered the next phase, whatever that turned out.